When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome once again to the Wolf and Owl podcast, up in your earpiece. Yes. To give you a bit of context, it's 7:20 in the morning. Arguably too early to be recording a podcast, I would say.
You look good though, boy. I love that side quiff you've got.
This is what my hair looks like in the morning. You like it?
Man, I'd love to have a situation where I could say this is what my hair looked at any other time, but it looks the same no matter what. There's no change. You know, like, sometimes I just enviably look at someone who just shakes their head, like, you know, when you see them going for a walk and I've got a bit of length on their hair. Mm. Or it's raining and, like, someone just sort of, like, breezes the fucking dew and drops off their hair. And I've just stood there with my baldness.
Yeah, but do you know what? You look consistently sexy. That's what's good about you, you know? I see you. It must be so nice to be your wife because you look as hot as you always do every single day. You're consistent. You bring the heat every day. That's what I like about you.
Until I open my mouth, my teeth are getting so bad.
Your teeth? What's wrong with your teeth? By the way, just so you know, guys, Tom's eating a cookie. He made the maverick decision to start eating as we started recording. Literally picked a cookie out of a jar as we started.
Right. At 7:20, this is my breakfast. Yeah. No, my teeth are at the bottom, are getting more and more gappy.
I thought you were getting some Invisalign or something.
Invisalign. I need to get on that fucking flex. Yeah. Massively. Have you had it done?
I'm doing Invisalign at the moment, yeah.
How are you finding it, boy?
Because I've got this like little tooth down here that's like really crooked. I've got some crooked teeth.
Yeah, mine are gappy.
I didn't think I had. It's one of these things where I didn't think I had until the dentist pointed out. You got like, look at this, and then
it's mad that they took you into that because obviously your fear of dentists and teeth.
Well, I'm with a very caring dentist. So it was
he's sensual and friendly.
Not sensual, just caring and.
Can you do me a favour?
What?
Text your dentist and see if they can get me in as well.
Wow. Okay. We've got ourselves an air fryer turnaround here, guys. This is a guy that when I first announced I was going to a gentle dentist, mocked me, vilified me, encouraged listeners to email and tell me what a piece of shit I am because of it. And now,
no, listen.
Look what we have here.
Listen, Listen, what? Listen to me, right? When it comes to dentists, mate, I'm on the front line. I don't care. Then if there was someone called the Danger Dentist, I would go there.
Why would you do that?
No worries.
That's insane.
Why would you... Yeah, no, but I would go there and go, all right, you're dangerous, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you, like, I'm ready to lay back and just do your worst.
And you come out and you go, didn't get me, with like a gappy little fucking smile, half your teeth missing. Taught him a lesson.
No, I'm like the Bear Grylls or the Ant Middleton of teeth, right? I'm like, that is the, you know, like with dentists, I'm like, I literally am like, you know, like when you get these mavericks, like Foxy or whatever.
Yeah.
Who look at a mountain, and me and you would be going, oh, fucking hell, that's a big mountain. And Foxy looks at it and goes, huh, fucking stupid mountain. And then literally puts a blindfold on.
Have you met Foxy? Because it doesn't talk like that at all.
Well, all right, yeah.
Well, we did really League of Their Own road trip. And most of what he said, in fact, I'd say all of what he said was kind of just made sense. He wouldn't look at a mountain and go, stupid fucking mountain. I can't imagine he's got that in his locker, really.
Well, okay. Maybe Ant would say that, right?
Cause I haven't Ant would 100% say that. Right, so he'd go, stupid fucking mountain. I'm about to go kick that mountain in the cock and then put it into a headlock and bring it to the ground or something like that. He'd say something like that.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that is what I'm like with dentists.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. What does that mean? To a dentist and beat them up or something? What does it mean?
No, it means I go to a dentist, I look them in the eye and go, I will trust you with my teeth, right? But let it be known that I bring fire as well. And, you know.
And then they go, hurry up and bring out the sedative. I need this guy to sleep urgently.
I don't have to fear that you, like, your knees
just
are
say that.
Me.
Why can't you just, this is the point I'm making. Just fucking say that, bro. Right. Just say, I'm not scared of dentists. If it's like, I'm the Bear Grylls of dentists, I'm the Ant Middleton of the dentist. So if somebody's looking at a mountain, just go, I'm not scared of dentists. So you're not scared of dentists, and you've decided to say that in a braggy way, once again mocking my issues with dentists, right? Because you're comparing yourself to Bear Grylls and fucking Ant Middleton because you're not scared of dentists, implying that because I do have an issue with dentists, I'm the opposite of that. You're putting yourself in a very bad position, let me just warn you, Mr. Wolf. You're in a lot of trouble here.
Mr. Al, can I just say to you, before you get upset, right? Hopefully, right, when is the moment you see like Bear Grylls and Ant Middleton shine, right? When it comes to like climbing mountains and walking across like fucking ravines and stuff.
Sure.
Right? It's when they fucking turn to like Anthea Turner or like Vicky Patterson and they say, you know, or Toby Anstis or whatever, and go, you can do this, and they're terrified. And then they show them how to do it. And then Anthea Turner goes across the ravine and is like, I fucking did it.
That metaphor only works if you go to the dentist with someone else and encourage them through the trick. That's the only way that makes any sense.
We could do that together. Like, I'm just saying, you could be my Anthea Turner. And I'll be Ant Middleton.
I absolutely don't want to be your Anthea Turner. But I will. So why are you coming to this dentist then? My special.
Well, I just think you've said nice things about it.
They're lovely. They'll look after you so well.
And I do think, look, I'm 42 now, right? Mm. And it's like, I've just been fucking dancing with these dentists and fucking flying about. Maybe it's not, it would be nice to go to a dentist and go, and relax and just smile and sort of like, you know, lay there.
Yeah. Can we tell people where you are right now? Because you're living that bougie life right now, aren't you?
Yeah, man. Look, listen, I'm fucking... I don't like to say the word second home because it makes me sound a douchebag, but I'm in my second home.
And by the way, if second home means somewhere that you visited about three times, then yes, absolutely smashing it. But you're at your second home. Soho Farmhouse.
I've come down here... little couple of nights away. Some serious filming happening this week, and another new project to throw into the mix with the other.
We're not allowed to say what it is, are we?
Yeah, I can say that I'm filming it. Actually, do you know what? This is a little thing I've got. So I'm filming a motion picture, a movie, a film.
Before you carry on,
yeah.
I want to tell you this now in case I forget to tell you this again, and if I haven't told you this before, I am so fucking happy for you, man. that you're doing. Oh,
thank
this.
You, brother.
Like, I'm proud you, of you. I know it's not down to me in any way, shape, or form.
No, it is.
I'm so buzzing for you, bro. Like, I hope thank you absolutely you, smash it. Anyway, carry on. Go on.
I love you, my man. I look into you now, and I'm just like, you're not my Anthea Turner. You are my Foxy. If we were going to go into battle side by side, it would just make me feel so much better.
I don't. It doesn't. Everything doesn't have to be a war metaphor. We could just go for lunch.
Yeah, true. Right. So I'm filming Wonka. I start filming Wonka this week.
Yeah, I've been reading about it. Sounds pretty sick.
Yeah, but have you seen? So there's a thing in the paper yesterday. Mm. Was like Tom Davis and Matt Lucas start filming Wonka. There's a picture of Keegan-Michael Key on that.
Who's in it, right?
Yeah, but they've said that I'm Keegan-Michael Key.
Oh, no.
And do you know the most offensive thing about that whole thing is what? Keegan-Michael Key looks very overweight in the picture, purposely.
Oh, no.
He's in a basin, like, yeah. Oh, so no. They've assumed, because Keegan-Michael Key is a very thin guy.
He is very when thin you meet guy.
Him. Yeah. By the way, shout out, because Key and Peele is one of the greatest Key and Peele,
do yourselves a favour right now. Just start watching some Key and Peele. Although, did you see the Dave Chappelle accusation on his last special?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
On his one before. I can't remember which one it is. Right. Maybe Sticks and Stones. He basically accuses them of, I don't know why I'm even mentioning this, but I was really surprised by it. He basically sort of insinuates that they ripped him off. But I've watched the Chappelle show and I've watched Key and Peele and I get that they come from the same world, but I wouldn't say rip-off.
Yeah, but that's like what they've done is they've made a sketch show and he made a sketch show.
I know, that's true.
It was just that of the time, his was very, you know, shot glossy and theirs is shot glossy. I think Key and Peele for me is maybe up there with the Far Show as the greatest sketch show ever made.
Oh, my God, it's so funny.
It's incredible. They nail
observations so well. There's one where it's such a simple idea. Well, first of all, the big one that went massive is the supply teacher. You know, the substitute teacher.
And the Liam Neeson one.
Yes. The other sketch that I love, which is like a really simple one, is like they were just basically taking the piss out of the fact that people keep the stickers on their hats.
Do you
remember that? And then, like, so one of them turns up and he's got like a label hanging off his hat. Then the next one tries to outdo him. He wears the hat with the packet on. It's just so, it carries on from there. It's so bloody good, man. So
they're
good. Anyway, sorry.
But there's such talent, man. So they've basically said that I'm him, which takes a gloss of my first day of filming if they do snap me filming, because I look obviously completely different from him.
When we were doing League of Their Own in Ireland, and Patrice Evra.
Absolute G, by the way.
Absolute straight up G. Love that bloke. There's a photo of him and it said Jamie and Freddie Flintoff with Romesh Ranganathan.
Right.
And I've got to say to you, when I told Patrice and showed him the photo, he tried to hide his sort of reaction, but I could tell he wasn't happy about it. You know, for me, great news. For him, not so good news. I told you the other thing, didn't it? It was reported. I was wearing a flat cap.
Oh, well, they said that Patrice Evra was you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Right. Okay. I saw another picture.
That was a similar reaction to him that he had, actually.
Yeah. I saw another picture of you. I think it was you, Jamie and Patrice, where they said that you're Idris Elba.
I know, mate. Literally,
all joking aside, I love you to death. I love every little bit of you, right? And literally, I fucking adore you, right? And I would have actually allowed you to fucking drink, have a sip of Kool-Aid and have a gentle swag about you. Idris Elba, for me, is maybe the most handsome, cool man who lives on planet Earth. He's an incredible human being, right? And I know I've put that phrase about, Idris is fucking a G, and he's a gentleman, right? Like, you're looking like...
Before you carry on, I really don't know. I really don't like where you're going with this, okay? Because first of all, you've really heavily complimented me, which is you're earning yourself the right to fucking give me a massive kick in the dick here.
So what I'm saying to you,
what I'm saying to you, Mr. Wolf, tread carefully.
Right? I'm not going to even say that. Right, listen to me. Let me finish, right? They have then seen you, like a picture of you with Jamie and Patrice. Someone in that news department or that a journalist has looked at that picture of you and gone, oh, that's Idris Elba. That means, right, although me and you have talked a lot about, you know, our issues, our problems, and how we look at ourselves, right, that means, Ramesh, there's a certain angle, a certain light, right, or whatever, where you look like the coolest man on the planet. And you have to enjoy this moment. You have to. Because I actually generally think, if there's someone to be likened to, mate, I've been likened to one of the best comedy actors in the world in a fucking fat suit with a fake moustache on, right? That's who the people think I look like. Or, and you know what? That's not even, I've had more of those, do you know what I mean? Terrible ones.
Listen, first of all, let me just say, I really did put the boot in on you there, and you're about to say something nice, so there's egg on my face. But secondly, I saw the photo that they got mistaken for. I was wearing like a flat cap. You can't really see my face properly. So they've gone
playing this down.
Well, no, I'm not. But can I tell you what happened after that? So it got reported that Idris Elba was with the boys. So what would happen is people would be looking for Idris Elba, and they'd see me, and but I basically had to suffer the rest of my trip. People looking at me. Double looking, like doing a double take, and then looking utterly disappointed.
That's even better.
That was the rest of my experience.
That's even better, because that means in the flesh, people were like, "Fuck, man, is that just? Oh no, it's just Ramesh." But like that for a second.
I wish I could take some sort of joy from it. But listen, I told the Swan the story. Now, as you know, the Swan, a massive fan of Idris Elba, huge fan of Idris Elba.
Maybe why she found you so sexy.
So much so that for her 40th, I did her an Idris Elba cake. That's how much she likes Idris Elba, right? And she loved it. Cool.
Which version of Idris Elba?
Well, she got into him when he was in Luther. She's
arguably really, the coolest version of him.
Yeah.
Slashy Stringer Bell's fucking amazing.
Yeah, Stringer Bell's amazing, but Stringer Bell's not as sexy as Luther, is he? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I think Idris Elba, that's the trouble I think with Idris Elba. If there's one fault he has, I think at sometimes he's so sexy and so cool. I think he finds it hard.
You need to talk to Lisa. She fucking adores him. Anyway.
Yeah, but he's like, as a writer and a casting person, and when me and you do like doing a show, and if Idris came in, I'd have to walk over and go, Idris, mate, please just play the sexy down. Please.
Yeah.
This part.
I reckon if you're talking to Idris, you immediately lose sort of 4 sexy points.
I think you'd lose 150.
If you've got 4 to cling on to. Well, I'm assuming a scale of 10 here. Right.
So, you know what? He's got that charm about him as well, because he makes you feel good about yourself when you meet him. Yeah.
Yeah, he does actually.
I met him on the stairs once.
You know people say that thing about people where they go, they just make you feel like you're the only person in the room. He's got that.
Oh my God, you're literally... I met him on the stairs, right? The first time I met him, right?
What is going on with you?
And the production, I was literally thinking about it now, right? And he was walking down the stairs, I was walking up. I see him, and I'm like, oh my fucking God. I like, this doesn't happen to me a lot, but I literally, my knees start like fucking feeling faint. I look at him.
Feeling faint?
Yeah, they start losing. Like, I feel like I'm in a ring. And I'm about to have a boxing match, and I'm terrified because I just look at this guy that I absolutely think is incredible.
Yeah.
I turn to him and I go, "You all right, mate?" And he goes, "Yes, bro. How you doing? You all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, cool. Really cool. Really cool. Just, you know, go out to the production company to pitch ideas
bad.
And stuff."
That's bad. That sounds bad already. Go on. Then what happened?
And then he was like, "Yeah, just starts chatting to me a little bit and asking me some questions about me, right?"
Yeah.
Which was amazing. Right, yeah. I at this point I'm just lost. I'm lost in the ether, lost in the Elba, right? And then,
7:36, my guy's pulling that out his ass.
And then he basically just was like, I was like, look, man, yeah, just gonna do this, da da da. And he was like, good man, keep cracking on, brother. You'll get there. And then he just sort of hit me on the shoulder, sort of smiled, nodded, and walked off. I literally flew up those stairs. And I was like, I am pitching the shit out of this show because Idris Elba, you know what it felt like? You know that old adage of Jesus walking on the beach and like saying, oh yeah, my footsteps in the sand. Oh, why was there only one footsteps when? Idris Elba put me on his shoulders.
Like a peacock, hold on, on his shoulders?
Yeah, like I was on his shoulders. And
like a piggyback?
Yeah. And I could just fly.
Like when you take your kid to the football or whatever?
Yeah.
At a theme park?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah,
You've got your legs either side of his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
And it went from feeling like my knees wouldn't work, my legs were all wobbly, to literally going, wow, my legs have never felt stronger and I feel like I could fly.
Yeah. And that show, listeners, that Tom pitched that day was Judge Ramesh 2.
Actually, the show didn't go anywhere because I was so nervous and so... like blown away from Idris.
It just kept on going through that, the pitch. Can we just talk about the show? No, but honestly, he put his hand on my shoulder and it felt like he looked into my eyes and we actually had a connection.
He looked into my soul. I remember, literally, I think even in the meeting, I was like, look, I also know Idris Elba and I could probably get him into this. I've been met him for like 45 seconds on some stairs.
Yeah, he's a deeply, deeply... sexual man, isn't he?
No, I just think a decent human being. I think if, yeah, man, I think like, you know, I think everyone who's listening to this podcast at some point today, I want just for a minute, just close your eyes and think of Idris Elba, please.
Yeah, yeah. Just think about what that man has done, what he means.
Yeah. His new film.
I was about to say to this country, but I mean to the world.
Yeah, yeah. So. He's an international superstar.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if now, right, someone's like, fucking hell, we need a lookalike for Idris Elba. You are somewhere on that list.
Yeah, I'm on the list.
If he gets a part of James Bond, you could be James Bond's cousin.
Just, yeah, hey, how's it going? Hello, James, it's John here.
Wayne.
John Bond.
No, it'd be Wayne Bond.
Oh, Wayne Bond. Just wondering if you're going to sort of get in touch with Mum, because... I know you're busy and stuff with like all your sort of highfalutin spy stuff, need to know if you're coming to the birthday party.
Wayne, you virgin. Yeah? Just leave it out.
James, I told you that in confidence when we're having a heart-to-heart. And I just want to wait until I'm ready, okay?
That would be the greatest film ever. This year, James Bond is going double with his cousin, Wayne Bond.
Oh, no, we can't jump off this.
James, it's too high. This is so dangerous.
I'm not going to the dentist, James.
You can do it, mate. Tell you seriously,
oh,
look at yourself.
Wow. We were, do you know what? We were having a nice little role play there, creating a sketch out of nothing. Some of the classic magic that you can find on The Wolf and Owl. And then you had to fucking put another dentist dig in. Do you know what I'm going to do?
I think it's cute. I think it's cute. I've just got this idea like James Bond, like, is Idris brushing your hair as you're in a dentist, and you just smile at him and go, this actually feels okay.
Oh, God. Why do you have to? You know what happened there? I tried to join in. I even did the voice to try and take some of the sting out of it. And you've managed to put a little bit of extra fucking prick into it.
Man.
Oh, God. I reckon that would be the end of James.
Yeah.
That would be one way to bring the franchise to an end immediately, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? I think you would be sick in James Bond. Or genuinely. Yeah. I think you're a sick actor. So I think something like that would be fucking good for you. Not as James Bond. You. Neither of us are ever going to...
No,
hey, you know what would be fucking cool that we could talk to them about?
What?
Me and you'd be like two bad guys. I could be like...
Yeah, I'd love that.
That'd be so cool.
We could actually be the Wolf and Owl.
Oh, yeah.
That could be the name of our...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That could be the name of our organisation. We've got some business called the Wolf and Owl Inc. or something, and it's a front for what we're really up to.
Which is like sort of like mega weapons.
Yeah, we'd have to disfigure our faces.
And we could be known as the mega weapons.
Yeah, and then I'll say, Wolf, you are a hell of a mega weapon.
You're a mega weapon too,
man.
Thank you, my mega weapon, brother.
Oh, is that what your accent would be?
My accent would be like this.
Mine would be more like, I'll have mine like this. Why does he keep interfering with our operation?
I have no idea, but one thing I can tell you.
Somebody, just kill him. I'm fed up with this. My cousin, the Wolf, and I are sick of our operations being interrupted by this man. End it. End it now or I end you. Go.
Something like that.
That would be amazing.
Shouting at a henchman.
Yeah. And we're both wearing board shorts and open-toe sandals.
What is it with you and board shorts?
I think it's cute. I love board shorts. They're coming back, by the way, next summer.
Hello. Thank God. Thank God.
Reaches for his wardrobe.
Have you watched James Bond yet?
No. I'm going to watch it. I might go and watch it next week or the week after. Once the filming of The Curse is done, I'm going to do some serious cinema in. I'm going to get some real cinema in. Little James Bond. I want to see the film, the Many Saints in Newark.
Yeah.
It's rock up and, yeah.
I've got something. Can I ask you a question if you think this is bad?
Go.
I got takeaway on Sunday, right?
Okay.
Right. I got Pizza Express.
Nice.
Okay. And I don't know if you're aware, I'm not being paid for this. Pizza Express have done a whole load of new vegan pizzas, so I was very excited.
Pizza Express for caring.
We got a load of pizzas. We ate the pizzas. A little bit of a... We tried to cheat Alex a bit because...
Can I just tell you, that's happened? Where you've made the mistake. Because out of all your children, he's the one who's most like me.
Well...
He's the hardest to trick.
Yeah, so he only likes margarita, right?
Yeah.
He only likes margarita.
I respect that. He's a traditionalist.
When the pizza arrived, it had jackfruit pepperoni on it. They'd got the order wrong, right? So Alex... I didn't want him to have to wait for another pizza. So Lisa and I... Just very quickly, as we heard him coming down the stairs, ate all of the jackfruit pepperoni, just picked it off the pizza and ate it.
Right.
And then just shut the box and didn't say anything. Because Alex is very particular about what he eats.
Yeah, he's a fucking G, the kid. He's an absolute legend.
Yeah. So he came in and he started eating it.
He swaggered in. I'd imagine he swaggered
in. He swaggered in. He sat down. He started eating it. And then he said, I need a drink. This is spicier than the normal margarita. And I thought, oh no.
Bless him.
He's on to us. And then he sat down and then he said, can I ask a question? I said, what? And he goes, why are there pepperoni shaped sort of marks in my pizza? And we said, I don't know. I don't know why they've done that. And then he just stopped. And you know what, Tom? You're absolutely right. He could not be fooled. Yeah. He said, what's happened? And I said to him.
He sounds like Luther.
Yeah.
Like, he sounds like Idris.
Yeah, I mean, he did have that kind of vibe about him. Anyway, it was so pathetic. Lisa and I had to own up to our son about what had happened.
Yeah.
We said we didn't want to have to wait, to wait for another pizza, so we took the pepperoni off that one and da-da-da-da-da. And then he ate it. He ate it all. And you know what? Lisa and I felt very ashamed. Or if only we just, you know, treated him with a bit of respect and owned up to him.
You know what would have been a really cool ending to that, right? Is if, like, you're putting him to bed that night and you're like, no, mate. And then he's just got his little bedside lamp on and he goes, Dad. And you're like, yeah. He's like, you know that business with the jackfruit on my pizza, yeah? And you're like, yeah. Yeah, mate, I know what you mean. And he just says...
Am I talking to him while at the edge of orgasm or something?
No, you're at the edge. You're not.
So why are you doing that?
No, because you're nervous, right?
Right.
And he looks you, like, stares at you dead in the eye, right? He looks at you and he goes, you got away with it this time, yeah? Don't ever do that to me again. And you do a big gulp and you went, I won't. I'm proud of you. And he says, I don't need your pride. I need your decent pizzas. And he turns off his little bedside lamp and you walk out, close the door, and then just like sweep your brow and go, wow.
Oh, God. Well, that's not actually very, very nice little ending there. That is not the the problem. That's not the thing I'm embarrassed about. The thing I'm embarrassed about is the next day.
Oh no!
Yesterday, I'm talking to I was talking to Jeff Norcott. We start talking about curry. Yeah, shout out Jeff Norcott, friend of the podcast, Jeff Norcott,
friend of life.
Yeah, absolutely right. And he mentions curry.
Right.
And then last night I ordered a curry.
What?
Straight off.
You went two for two?
On a Monday night. Yeah, oh, two for God. Two. That's bad, isn't it?
Nah. No. I think you have to do that every now and again.
You shouldn't do that. I mean, how often? You should be doing that, what, twice a year at most?
I think.
Two for two?
I think, mate, this year I've done a 4 for 5, so.
You've done a 4 for 5?
Yeah.
What happened?
I've hit the pizza, or Italian, so lasagna, chips,
pizza. What were you doing at this time? What was going on in your life?
Me and Catherine were just going through a takeaway phase, then Chinese,
right.
Had a day off, then an Indian, and then we had the Indian the next day as well, so 4 from 5.
That doesn't count, though. You're having leftovers from the Indian.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still a takeaway.
That's not 4 for 5, that's a 3 for 5.
That's a 3 for 4, then.
That's a 3 for 5. That's a 3 for 4.
Yeah, but that's still
pretty. That's 3 for 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I mean, yeah, get your facts right when you sort of do an announcement.
Yeah, you're a leftover guy, by the way. Do you smash up? Yeah, you do, didn't you? We've talked about it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. You know, the best thing with an Indian, mix all that shit together.
Oh, mate, mix it all together. Just throw it in a George Foreman. Wrap it up. Well, or if you've got a leftover naan. Oh, man. Bombay potatoes. I would love to just Indian food, man. Bhaji is fucking, I love it so much. I think that is the thing that just makes me the most satisfied in the world. Indian, like,
is that your favourite meal, would you say, Indian?
Yeah. By quite a long way as well. By quite a long way.
I think so, for me as well. I just think it's delightful.
I think
nobody else in this house is a fan. The Swan's not a fan, are you? She's in the room, brother.
Don't mind it.
That's
a Monday night, though.
Pardon?
Not on a Monday night.
Well, not on any other night with you.
I already cooked.
She had already cooked, actually.
Hold up. This is a whole fucking curveball.
Why would you say this?
Hold up. Lisa had already cooked, right?
No.
Hold on. And then you come in and demand a curry, even though she's cooked a delicious meal.
I didn't come in and demand a curry. Let me explain what happened.
No, you texted me and said curry.
Lisa was out with the kids, right?
Well, this is literally spellbinding to see how this relationship works at times. The Swan's at home, right? She's had a long day. Monday. The hardest day of the week. She's cooked a lovely dinner, and then you text and with an exclamation mark saying curry.
I'm trying to see what you're saying. No,
that's not what happened. She's left the room now. Now she's thrown me into the fire. She's walked out. So, no, I'll tell you what happened. I did actually feel quite bad about it. What happened was, Lisa had said to me, are you in for dinner? Right. And I said, yes. And she said, because I'm doing like sausage and jacket potato. Right. Oof. It's like a little thing. We're having.
Lovely. Amazing meal.
Anyway, I forgot that.
Yeah, baked beans for that, by the way.
Yeah, on occasion.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, baked beans. And a bit
of
gravy.
So I am long and the short of it is I forgot that she'd said that. So then she was out and I text her and I said, do you fancy curry? I'm ordering some. She didn't see that text message. And then she came back a little bit later and I said, I ordered some curry. Do you want some? And she goes, no. She goes, I was doing sausage and jacket potato. And then I remembered that we'd had that conversation and I felt really bad. And I did apologise.
Wow. So she spent the whole day looking forward to a sausage and jacket potato.
Well, she was actually, Tom, unlike some men, I allow my wife to eat what she wants. So she could still have that dinner.
No.
I don't know what you're getting at there.
No. She thought you didn't make her cook her dinner while you had a delicious takeaway curry.
I offered her curry, but that's what I'm saying to you. She doesn't really like curry.
Wow.
And she certainly wouldn't have it on a Monday night.
So what, you had curry on your own?
Let me tell you how you get the Swan to eat curry.
Go on.
Okay. All right. You mention it a week before.
Yeah.
Okay, that you want to have it. And you start sort of talking. So I might go, God, do you not fancy next weekend a curry? Do you fancy a curry? And she goes, yeah, maybe. Okay, that's the starting point.
Yeah.
Then as the week goes on, just every night go, you're still up for that curry. So now I start talking like she's agreed to it, right? You're still up for that curry, still up for that curry. Just like a kid, can't wait for that curry tomorrow. And then the curry arrives. You eat the curry and she goes, yeah, I don't really enjoy curry as much as you do. And then we start the merry dance all over again. Because, yeah. Like, I don't know why, but the boys don't.
Different. Yeah.
Beer, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's very difficult to convince Lisa to have curry. And actually, it's so difficult to convince her to have curry that when we're eating it, I feel like, do you know when you're a kid and you like sort of may have behaved a bit spoiled and then you get the thing that you want?
Yeah.
And then you actually feel a bit ashamed of yourself because of the way you behaved. That's how I feel when we're eating a curry sometimes. I feel like, you know.
Yeah, but then she's got to enable your curryness, like, so you can have a curry every now and again.
Mm.
You can't have sausage and jacket potatoes every night.
No, that's the problem. She's making it every night, this woman. Every fucking night.
It is an amazing meal. Tell Lisa that, put that in the top five things when I come to your house for tea to put in the mix.
To put in the mix?
Yeah. Well, you know, like different, so she's got different ideas of what are my favourite foods.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, that implies that you're going to be coming around five times. Which, let's just see how the first one goes, shall we?
That'd be lovely, sausage and jacket potatoes.
Oh, lovely.
Actually, as well, just to say, if you wanted, I could probably have sausage and jacket potatoes and then eat a curry with you.
If I could. That's a good shout. Do you know what? Now that you've said that, I think having you being round could be quite the little coup in terms of me eating a bit more food.
Have vegan sausages? Do the boys have vegan vegetarians? Do they have the vegetarian
sausages? No, the boys don't. Theo does. Theo's veggie. The other two aren't. But we have the Linda McCartney sausages.
They're fucking banging.
Yeah.
They are good.
They're bangers.
Oh, Jesus. That's where you step off the edge of Elba vibe.
I know.
You're so cool up to
that. He'd never say anything like that, would he?
No. He doesn't need to try and be funny. That's me and you have to try and be funny. He doesn't need to be. Oh, imagine an amazing day out. Me, you, Francis, the train guy, and Idris Elba.
Yeah. Yeah. Francis has been in touch, actually.
Yeah.
It's happening. We are train spotting.
Yeah, we are train spotting. Just wait until our diaries are clear and we're doing it. I can't wait. I love that kid.
I love that kid too.
You know, the other trouble is that Francis and Idris would get on and me and you would be like school. We'd just be ostracized.
Do you know what would be so sad? We'd be trying to be friends with him and then Francis, just by being himself and being comfortable in his own skin, Idris would sort of turn around and go, you know what? I respect that because these two just keep telling me they like the same sort of stuff as I like. Whereas you, Francis, you're being yourself and you know what? That's what life's all about. So you know what? I think you might be the guy I want to hang out with. How about we ditch these two chumps?
God, if we did a podcast special, I mean, you weren't even in it.
Oh.
They became the new Wolf and Owl.
Oh, no. And they're better, even when you think about them.
Yeah.
Idris is a better wolf. Francis is a better owl.
By the way, I will say that I respect the fact that you, like you gave me Idris as a wolf. Like, Idris would be the wolf and you'd be the owl. Like, Francis, I do respect that.
Why do you respect that?
Well, it's just a cool thing that you told me. I feel good about that now.
Why? Because Francis isn't cool?
No, Francis is really cool. I'm just saying, I thought you were...
So why are you so happy?
Well, we spent the last 25 minutes saying that you're like Idris.
Well, let me just rewind. I spent about a minute talking about how cool he was, and then you started monologuing and practically fucking jizzing all over the fucking podcast about what you thought of him. I kept trying to move it on. And you know, the other thing that's so cool about him...
Do you know what? There's been quite a few times I've tried to dress. Idris is that, you know, like you have people you look at and then you try and like copy stuff.
For you, it's Idris Elba and Rio Ferdinand, right?
Yeah. And Jason Statham a bit. Statham was
and
cool.
And also, let us not forget one of your style icons, Kevin Hart.
Oh, Kevin Hart's sick, man, with some of the stuff he wears.
Yeah, I know.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
We did. We hung out the other day, and my love for Adidas got brought into the crossfires from someone.
Oh yeah, we went and did a corporate, a Wolf and Owl corporate. We never thought that would happen.
No,
we did a Wolf and Owl corporate.
I got brought into.
And Tom was well. Let's just give this a bit of context. You're wearing an Adidas tracksuit, which I loved.
Yeah.
You had Adidas trainers on, yeah. Which obviously, if you've got an Adidas tracksuit, that makes perfect sense. Adidas socks on.
Yeah.
Were you wearing an Adidas hat?
Yeah, an Adidas cap, yeah.
So you can understand why somebody might have thought, you've turned up like a fucking athlete.
Yeah, but
about
you
to
know
do
what?
Some training.
I'm fiercely loyal. I love Adidas and what they stand for, as I've said before on this podcast.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you know, what do we reckon? £35 worth of free gear buys you loyalty for life?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, shout out, talk about Adidas. I want to shout out a friend of mine, works for Adidas, Dan, who did a marathon, Manchester Marathon this week. Smashed it. My guy, fan of the podcast. Absolute gentleman.
Yeah.
So shout out. Keep doing you, Dan. My brother. Keep doing you.
Well done for doing something I will never, ever, ever.
Do you think you
ever do?
Do you think you've got one marathon in you?
No. Whenever I see the posts from people and they go, it's always a story like, I fell over on mile 10 and hurt my wrist, but I carried on, or my calf popped on mile 12 and it was absolute agony, but the cheers of the crowd kept me going. My story would be, it started to get sore on mile 2. I'm sorry to everyone that sponsored me, but I decided that was enough.
What would you rather, right? Fight in a charity boxing match or run the marathon?
Oh, that's a great question.
You've got to do one. Like Calm come to you. Shout out Calm doing some amazing stuff, right? Calm come to you.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, Ron, we need you to do one of these two things. You've either got to fight. Who would be someone that you'd fight who'd be a good fight? Jamie Theakston. What? Right, in a like celebrity boxing match, right?
I don't even know what would happen if I got the shit kicked out of me by Jamie Theakston.
Theakston's got some.
I don't know what the fallout would be on this podcast alone. I don't know what the fallout would be.
Right, so you've either got you versus Theakers,
yeah.
Right, or you've got to run a marathon.
I'd do the marathon.
Would you really?
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of being hit.
So that I mean,
would you do the boxing?
Yeah, all day long. Yeah, me versus Theakston, I'd fancy my chances. Yeah,
sure, but I just think there is a possibility that Theakston would get you with a lucky one, and then forever you're known as the guy that got sparked out by Jamie Theakston.
I'd take my risk, mate. I respect people who do marathons, so I respect boxers as well, but the marathon man is I'd sooner get sparked out by Theakston and after 7 minutes and put a good account of myself. A marathon is, I think marathon runners are I have all the biggest respect for those guys, man.
The biggest respect out of anyone you respect?
Well, not the biggest. I've got a lot of respect in my heart. Obviously, your heart, right? Let me just break it down for you so you understand, right? Your heart is broken up into many different formulas, right? And many different compartments, okay? Right? So there's love, right? There's adulation, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? One of the parts.
Are these are sections. So is it split up in sections like the tongue, is it?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, yeah. But imagine, remember, like Penny Pockets type vibes, right?
Yeah.
Right? So you've got all those, they're like little doors that you've got in your heart, right?
Mm.
And one of them's marked respect. And when you open a respect one, there's loads of other little doors.
Who are they? So does it actually say it on there, does it?
No. But when heart experts know the different parts of your heart, so they don't.
Okay.
They'll probably have like a graph and they'll go, oh, okay, what have we got here? Oh, that's a respect bit. Do you know what I mean? Right.
Okay. Yeah. Carry on. So go on.
So there's only so much respect you can have for people. So you have loads of different bits of respect. So you have bigger drawers for more respect and stuff. So like, and then you respect someone like Idris Elba for one thing. You respect someone else for like respect. I don't know, like someone amazing for something else. And then like, you know, so it's all comparative, you know. And yeah, and some of the biggest respects I do have, like out of my respect vaults, is for marathon runners.
Yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't have put all that bullshit in the brain, everything you just described there, because that would make sense. You got a little part for respect for Idris. All of that would make sense in the brain, in the mind, but you have to put it in the heart.
You're analytical. You think with your brain, I think with my heart. That's what makes you such a good friend.
No, but what I'm saying is, at least... What?
Well, that's what makes
you... What are you looking around for?
I was looking for a pillow, because I've been sitting on a table for ages.
Why don't you go get yourself a pillow? Because you're about to do emails. Oh, my God. Why did I have to see that? You shuffling backwards.
I'm only in my underpants as well.
Yeah, me too. I've got a blanket up around me like a nan.
Have you? Well, give me a second. Yeah. Let me just go and get a pillow to sit on. It really hurt my butt.
Oh, my God. Just, you know, like a little thing is, you know how you're supposed to put the towels on the floor and stuff if you want them to launder them? I would just ask them for a post-it so you can write burn this on that.
2 years' time, someone laying on this pillow again. It still smells.
I smell the musk of a wolf. Is this? Can you just smell this? Does this smell like wolf gooch to you?
Wolf gooch. Oh, I love you. You're a rascal.
Right, should we do some emails, my G?
Yeah. Go on, boy. Go on.
All right, fine. So, first up, this is from Alex.
Yo, Alex, so you're a G.
We've spoken to Alex before, apparently.
Oh, wow.
A few months ago, you gave me advice regarding the resting bitch face issue. While I didn't have the response I wanted, I definitely listened and heard the advice I needed, and I can see it has worked wonders and no longer being on the defensive has eased off. So I'm coming back to you again for suggestions. My wife has been a vegetarian for all her life. I've been with her for 8 years-ish. Decided to do the right thing. I've successfully had no meat in 3 months and plan to go on strong. I don't miss it, which is surprising, but I do find the fake meat better. It now appears that I'm lactose intolerant out of nowhere, so while I can take tablets to ease the cheese, I thought, fuck it, I might as well go vegan. It's the midweek meals I need help with. I'm getting bored of chips, beans and Richmond vegan sausages. They are good, those. So, Rom, Tom, what would you cook in a time and tired state? Tom, you've said you're 80% veggie vegan. I'm keen to know what sort of changes or meals you would happily eat over and over again. Cheers, my guys, as always, for improving my mental health. Alex.
Yo, Alex, you're G. Thank you. And I'm glad that the original email has been helped. I want to shout out if someone that does good vegan vegetarian meals, the Mindful Chef. Have you ever used that, Rob?
That does sound familiar. Maybe. Yeah,
microwave meals that you can ping in a microwave.
Maybe you've talked about it.
No, I haven't. I've never talked about it on here. Mindful Chef is, they do some amazing meals that you can just ping in a microwave. If you're tired, I've been using them a lot. Some nice vegan vegetarian vibes. But you know what? One of the old classics, mate, vegetarian, vegan-wise, I love. You can't beat a good ratatouille.
Lovely.
Nice vegetable casserole. Quite easy to do. Ping it in. Little vegetable stock. Little menage of different veg. Put it in a big pot. Whoop it in the oven. You know, go about your business. An hour later, you've got a dinner fit for a king, a vegetarian king.
If you want to add a bit of treatiness to that vegetable casserole, here's a little tip for you. Just late on, throw in a little bit of veggie sausage.
Ooh.
There you get on with that.
Wowzers. Yeah. Also, if Romish would be so kind, one of the best vegetarian things I've ever eaten, vegan things, is his mother's brindle bhaji.
Aubergine curry, yeah. That takes a little bit of time, but it's delicious. I would highly recommend it. Do you know that? How many meals do you reckon you cycle through? Apparently, the average British family goes through four or five meals that they just rotate for the whole of their lives.
Yeah, me and Catherine, we're both pretty sort of. We both love being in the kitchen. What we tend to do is go through vibes. Where, like, I'll tell you another good thing is like vegan vegetarian chili with a bit of corn mince. I think it's better than beef if you get a good veggie mince. I think corn's a really good one. Wallop that in.
Nice spicy stir fry.
Yeah.
Some corn bits in there, or a bit of tofu, whatever you fancy. That's nice.
For vegetarian eaters, there's nothing that you get your spice rack rocking. Really go in, fucking save the spices.
Thank you, Tom. Great shout.
Yeah, it's more than just a salt thing. Do you know what I mean? Just enjoy it. Fucking live for the moment. Get yourself a little turmeric, cayenne pepper. I'll tell you what, just stand there at the spice rack and let the spice rack, in the supermarket, and let the spices speak to you. Just be fucking radical and crazy and just go for it. Go, fuck, I'm going to get some tarragon. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah. And then just chuck it in like Salt Bay. Just, you know.
I've got a problem with Salt Bay.
Me too. I think he's an absolute
helmet. I'm sorry, I don't get it.
I do too. And I think everyone that eats in his restaurant is a helmet as well. It's bad, isn't it? I shouldn't feel like this, but I do.
I find him one of the most irritating people on planet Earth. I've got to say.
I find him more irritating than you do, I've got to say.
I don't know. I'd fight you for that.
I'd run a marathon against you for that.
I'd fight him in a boxing ring.
I'd run against him in the Virgin London Marathon.
Would you?
No. I'm not offering Salt Bay. It'd absolutely destroy me. But I do find... Why do you find it so annoying? Why don't we give this a bit of...
I just find...
A bit of meat on these bones.
I just find that, number one, he's not... I don't get it at all. I think, he's an average barbecue chef, right? Who's come up with a different way of putting a bit of salt on a fucking, It's a fad. It's a thing that people have jumped on, and it's just become like everyone's like, oh, this about it. I don't know. This is a really bad thing to say, and I might be completely found wrong on this, and this might be a sweeping statement. I just don't like his vibe.
Oh.
I find the whole thing a little bit, now this is where I'm trying to find a word. I think he ostracizes a lot of different people because, you know, the high point of, like, you know, what he does is sort of surrounds himself. Everything's expensive. Everyone around him's like this celebrity vibe. It's this sort of thing. So I think straight away, it's an elitist fucking form of him being like.
Yeah. But yes, I agree with what you're saying. And that is why it's slightly annoying. If I was sort of playing devil's advocate on this, that is what you're paying for with Salt Bae, isn't it?
Yeah, but what?
All those people that go to the restaurant, they want to enjoy. To be honest with you, mate, it's kind of it's a similar experience consumer-wise to buying designer clothes. Well, what you're trying to do is you're trying to buy something less accessible, and part of that experience is the fact that you're paying to go somewhere that a lot of people can't. That's what that's about.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just find it's like there's a few places I've been where people talk about food and go like, oh, this is, you know, this. And actually you go, this isn't anywhere near as good as somewhere like, what's the Sri Lankan restaurant in Soho?
Are you talking about Hoppers?
Yeah, Hoppers, right?
Yeah.
I went to Hoppers with friends, right? I'd never really heard about it. I think it's got bigger now. It's become more, right?
Yeah.
I will go as far as say, like, I had a vegetarian meal there, right? It blew my fucking mind. Like, genuinely blew my mind to the point where I probably talked about it for about a month afterwards and how incredible it was, yeah. Right? So I look at Salt Bae, but I look at, like, the skill it takes to make three or four different vegetarian curries. Like, the breads in there are insane. The potato bread thing that they do, it's insane. Right, the skill it takes, right? Don't get me wrong. There's a world where, like, barbecuing meat, there's a skill to it, but I don't think he's anywhere near as skillful as what they do. I just think the whole thing is, you know, I've been to fucking great, like, Turkish restaurants, Lebanese restaurants, where the grilled meat's incredible. They haven't got some wanker who comes in and fucking puts your salt on for you. Do you know what I mean? I just find the whole thing, it's...
Well, that's part of the thing. You're doing it so you can put that on the gram.
Yeah, but that's where it becomes elitist of just going, oh, we've got this, you know. And also, if I'm honest with you, I want to put my own fucking salt on. And that thing annoys me now. That annoys me.
Can I tell you what annoys me more than the salt about Salt Bae? Yeah. It's the squeezing the burgers.
Yeah.
It comes up and he squeezes the burgers to sort of show the juice in the burger patty. And it just looks rank. I don't like it.
No.
I don't like it. And also, you know, let's be honest, he's not, you know, there's probably going to be no veggie options, I don't think.
No.
But my main issue, I think, listen, we have the same issue with it. I just think that the thing that we have an issue with is the reason that people like the restaurant. So you just have to accept that.
Yeah, but also, let me just tell you, it's like Von Dutch.
In what way?
Everyone, like, there was a time when everyone, Von Dutch, everyone had Von Dutch caps. Von Dutch went mad. Yeah. Everyone just literally ate smashed the shit out of Von Dutch, right? And then all of a sudden, it was like nothing. It was like, you know, yeah, well, it's become uncool.
What would you think if I came to meet up with you?
Yeah,
and I had a Von Dutch hat on.
Now I think it was epically cool.
Would you think? Oh shit, this is kind of
this is quite a cool
anti move that he's making. Would you think, oh no, this poor bastard doesn't know how to buy a new hat?
Section A. I saw my friend Maya Jammer smashing a fucking Von Dutch cap the other day. I thought, epically cool, you're bringing it back. You don't care, you're still repping. Like, you know what? If that happened to Salt Bae and no one went to his restaurant because everyone had, like, fucking sucked the cool out of it, right? I'd probably go in and he'd be all fucking...
I'd love that.
His beard had grown, he wasn't even wearing his hair in a ponytail anymore.
Yeah.
Like, his hands...
You sort of don't want him to do the salt because his elbow looks so filthy.
Yeah, and I'd just go in and he'd go, a customer. And I'd go, hello, mate. And he'd go, what can I get you? I was like, get us one of your burgers, mate. Don't squeeze it. I want to save the meat. And he'd go, why did you come? And I'd go, because you need me now more than you did then.
Yeah. When you were at your peak, I slagged you off on a podcast and hoped for your downfall. And now I've come to rescue you so that you can give me some credit, despite the fact I've wished ill on you since the moment you started. Is that what you do? You fucking hypocrite.
Not since the moment he started, because there's a time.
And then turn up like a fucking, like you're the Messiah. I'd love to see that. Just Instagram of you on your own in Salt Bay's restaurant. Couldn't even convince anyone to come with you.
I do some of my best eating on my own.
Me too.
So Alex,
let's go to our next.
I hope that answers your
question. Alex, hope that helps. Good luck.
And also, maybe me and Ron, maybe in like a couple of years, we'll do like a sort of cookbook together.
Yeah, I can't imagine what recipes that would consist of, but yeah, sure. Okay, this is from Anonymous. Hi, Wolf, Owl and Swan. I've been listening to the podcast since it started. Absolutely love it. Just wondering if we could get some advice, as my boyfriend and I are feeling very stressed at home. So I live with my boyfriend and his best mate. I set my boyfriend's best mate up about 8 months ago. Since this time, his girlfriend has been staying at our house 6 to 7 days a week. I've been more than welcoming and excited to have another gal in the house, cooking for the whole house, helping her out whenever she needs it, helping her write CVs and apply for jobs. But it's got to the point that I had to ask for money towards bills in the house, which I made sure I did in a calm and friendly way. Her reaction is to send £35 a month and contribute nothing else to the house. I also asked whether it'd be okay if we had a few days without anybody coming around, as I'm feeling overwhelmed with the constant traffic of my housemates, friends and girlfriend, again, in a friendly and non-confrontational way. This led to the girlfriend saying she doesn't want to come around because she thinks I don't like her. She hasn't messaged and doesn't want to confront me. It's left me feeling anxious. I don't know what to do. I fear it's going to come between my boyfriend and his best friend's long-term friendship. It's going to make it impossible to celebrate birthdays and events without feeling awkward. What the fuck do I do? Thank you, and sorry this is so long-winded. This is such a common
problem. Yo, can you just do me one favour? On that, did she say she messaged the woman about not having friends coming round? Or did she speak to her about it?
Got to the point. I asked whether it'd be okay if we had a few days without anybody coming round, as I was feeling overwhelmed by the constant traffic of my housemates, friends and girlfriend. Again, in a friendly and non-confrontational way. But she's not said if this is face-to-face or...
Well, no, I'm assuming it's face-to-face, by the way she says that. Yeah. That would be my guess. Just looking at the way she said it. Personally, I think you've handled this in a very adult and mature way. And I think my thing was like having these conversations face-to-face is a better rather than carrying any sort of angst. Or I think text messages and emails, when it comes to anything like this, are the worst fucking thing in the world. Because I think that is one bit of fucking modern fucking technology that's an absolute dog shit thing. So I think if you've got a problem with someone, the only way of dealing with that is a face-to-face sit-down conversation, which you've done in an adult way. But the trouble is, I think in this situation, what you're dealing with is sort of dealing with someone clearly who's a little bit more juvenile than you are, and someone who's like not able to, you know, to respect boundaries. I think the first point is that this is your flat, your living, your accommodation, and I think that if someone can't respect that, then the problem sort of lies with her. So what the trouble is, I think, that you have in society and you're having these sort of situations is you're dealing with a very sort of adult manner, but then you've got to almost sort of dumb down to deal with someone in a more juvenile sort of way, and you've got to work out and navigate the best way to sort of speak to them that they're going to understand. So I think it's seeing if she's up for going. I think number one, speaking to sort of over half and seeing how he feels about it and saying, look, you know, I wasn't being confrontational. I think, you know, it's worth mentioning that to him. And then I think, yeah, getting in touch with her and saying, look, you know, I wasn't being aggressive, I wasn't being disrespectful. This is where I'm coming at. I'm under a lot of stress, you know, work-wise, you know, life-wise. And sometimes I just want a little bit of me space. I want a bit of space. I've lived in a situation where I lived with a couple and it was fucking, you know, shoe on the other foot sort of vibe. It was very, it's a difficult thing to live with two people who are together. At times it's sort of, you know, so looking at your flatmate situation, that can be quite hard. And I think if he's now with this other girl, it's sort of, you know, and he cares about her. I think I suppose there's a sort of an argument that maybe they should probably look at, if they're getting that serious, if they should look at getting their own place and having their own space together. But it's then keeping that friendship going and making sure that you sort of, yeah, you hold on to that. So, I mean, yes, it is a difficult one. I think just a sat-down conversation, but working out the best way of dealing with this person, which I think is probably making sure you make them feel sort of good about themselves and making sure that they realise that they're not 100% the problem. They're just a sort of element to how you're feeling.
Really great. Once again, Tom, beautiful, beautiful advice, eloquently put.
Thank you.
You're a credit to podcasting. I'm going to say that. I know that sounded sarcastic, but I mean it. I think with these situations, Anonymous, it's very, very difficult. But I think a lot of these problems can be solved when it comes to arguments like this by putting yourself completely and utterly in the other person's position and trying to understand why they might be feeling how they're feeling. Right. So looking at what you've talked about here, this girl has started seeing this guy and she obviously likes him because she's coming around 6 or 7 days a week. She's excited about a new relationship. Obviously, that's 8 months ago, so it started to get more and more serious. From her point of view, I'm just reading this from her point of view. You asked for money towards bills in the house, okay, and you did it in a calm and friendly way. I don't know if you specified an amount, because what you said then is that she sent £35 a month and she contributes nothing else to the house. Did you ask for more money than that? And she said, all I want to send is £35 a month. Or did she make up that figure and you said it was all right? Like, you know, I'm just trying to establish this because from her point of view, you've asked for money to contribute towards bills in the house because she's visiting so much. She's responded to that by sending £35 a month. And then you've asked if you could come round a bit less. I'm not saying that this is a bad thing from your point of view. I'm trying to encourage you to put yourself in her shoes so that you can try and have a conversation with her that leads to a resolution to this. And so, like, often what you need to do is, I find this with, like, whenever I've having disagreements with anyone, whenever on the rare occasion having a disagreement with the Swan, I always put myself completely and utterly in her point of view. And 99% of the time I realise that I've been in the wrong. And I'm not saying you're in the wrong here at all. All I'm saying is it will help you when you have a chat with her. You need to have a clear the air conversation. You need to have a chat with her about to sort this all out. Because the truth of it is that if you let this stay as it is now, it is going to create a problem. So you've got to deal with this. And dealing with that means having a conversation with this girl and sorting this out and coming to a compromise that you're all happy with. Because currently, I don't think you are all happy with this compromise. Because at the moment, she's not coming round, which is kind of what you wanted to a degree. But now you're feeling really upset about it. So what you want is to arrive at a sort of an equilibrium where she's coming around the amount you want her to come around. You feel like she's contributing the amount she wants to. And also your housemate and his girlfriend are also happy with the situation as well. That's what you need to arrive at. The only way you arrive at that is by having an open conversation where you detach yourself from any of the things that are talked about. You sort of depersonalize it and you go, what do you want from the situation? This is what I want from the situation. How do we arrive at a compromise here? And it's as easy or as difficult as that. You know, you got to try and, like Tom said, it's very easy to be personally invested in this. You have to try and extract that so you can have the conversation freely. That would be my advice.
And let me just say, wow. If we were playing poker, I've just gone, I had an amazing hand. Your hand was even more creamy and delicious.
Okay, it's not a competition.
No, I'm just saying, it was lovely advice.
We're doing this, you and I are doing this together.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, it was lovely advice. So it was like, there's so much for her to devour here.
Yeah. Do you mean I went on a bit? Is that what you're saying?
No, I genuinely think that was brilliant advice. I actually listened to that advice you just gave and thought, wow, I'm going to use that in situations I'm in.
Well, thank you so much. Anonymous, I hope that helps. Good luck.
Keep it real, keep it flavoursome.
Keep it so flavoursome. Tom.
Yo.
It's about that time, IG.
Okay.
It's about that time.
Yo. Oh.
Could you do us the honour?
Got it.
You sort of sound a little bit like Jay-Z about to spit some bars.
Oh. Yo.
Ha! Yeah. Another one.
Here we go.
Go on.
And the world turns. And the days that were once so sunny and you bathed in the rays of the sun turn a little bit colder and the skies become greyer and the clouds pull in, put on the handbrake and sit there. The days become shorter. Your psyche can then be transformed into a way where negativity is attached to the grey, into the dark, and the little chinks of sunlight, which were the positivity, dwindle. But that's not the key. The key is to remember the weather is just something out in the ether. It's just something there that can limit you, but it can also excel you. Own the dark. Own the grey. If it's raining, don't think about, oh, shit, it's raining. Think, yes, it's raining. You know the best thing to do when it's raining? Number one, the water, the earth is getting the water it needs to make it nourished and fine. But also, I'm going to stick on a film. I'm going to just kick back, get the heating on all nice, put a duvet on with yourself and a loved one or a family, get the dog licking up on your feet, and enjoy those moments. When it's cold and it's breezy and autumnal, get out, take a walk. Look at your breath in the air and remember, wow, it's incredible, I can breathe. Smell the bonfires. Get ready for Christmas. It's easy to get down this time of year. I got you. I realise that. But it's also a time to enjoy, for me, the most fabulous time of year. Weather ain't nothing but a ting. Your mind is stronger than the earth and what surrounds it. You got this.
Wow. That was...
Yeah,
so lovely and motivational. I really enjoyed it.
You know
it.
What? I really just... you know what? I felt Jay-Z inside me for a moment then.
Did you? Yeah. No, it felt... It sounded like one of his... Yeah. Sounded like something off the Black Album, actually.
You know, the greatest thing I've ever seen, one of them anyway, is at Glastonbury when Jay-Z played Glastonbury.
Really? Man. There are a lot of people that weren't really that keen on him playing Glastonbury,
then
right?
Fuck them. They're idiots and oafs.
What I was going to say to you... we've had a few emails asking... So basically saying that they really love your closes to the to the podcast.
Yeah.
And asking if I switch my microphone off because they can't hear me. And whenever they're listening to you do your thing, they're laughing. I mean, obviously they're taking in the advice and the metaphor. Yeah,
like they're cherishing laughing the knowledge.
Yeah. But just to give you an idea, I spend most of my... I think Tom can verify this. I spend most of the time when Tom does his endings with my... face in my hands trying not to laugh at what he's saying. I mean,
it's a beautiful thing.
One of the things, when I'm on my deathbed and my time on this, I'm shuffling off this mortal coil, one of the things I look back at most fondly is me sitting on this Zoom watching you doing those.
You know, what I think at the moment that I'm doing those, who I think of, is me and you are like Rose and Jack from the Titanic when their eyes meet across the ballroom.
What? And you're kicking me off a...
No, that's the end. Big enough for both of us. That'll be the moment you pass away or one of us does, and one of us is Jack and one of us is Rose. But for the most part...
Don't bother throwing that in at the end. I can see what you think this dynamic is. You go on to live a merry old life and throw a massive jewel into the water, and I freeze to death very early on.
Well, listen, I'm not going to get into that now. I'm just going to end this with the words of the king. And the wind blows... And a poor... No, how does it go? And a poor little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as a cold wind blows in the ghetto. I've just got it in my head and had a go. I'm going to listen to that. Great tune. Great man. Elvis Presley.
Yeah. JT, can you drop in the ghetto for us? As we say, from the wolf and the owl, thank you for joining us once again. Take care of yourself.
That's just one last thing. I'm holding out my hand right now. For a handshake.
Why do these endings always take so long?
I'm holding out my hand for a handshake. Don't worry about where you are, okay? I want you to feel enlightened. Hold out your hand like you're grasping mine. Just shake it gently and smile and go, thanks for the memories. You got this.
It's just none of it makes any sense. Why are we taking... We've got to figure out how to end these podcasts.
Well, we'll end it with that, JT. Just end it. Yeah, we'll end it with this bit.
No, but before we do go, let me just say, from me to you, brother to mother, brother to brother, brother to sister, brother to father, brother to son, from me, life is a roller coaster. You know what you got to do? You just got to ride it.
Or just...
Okay, just like, we can just keep doing
that. JT, go out in the handshake bit. It was really cool.
Right, see you next time, guys. Bye-bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.